You're listening to the Just One Outdoors Podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Just One Outdoors Podcast. Today we have a return guest and a first-time guest. Benny with Buzzard Roost Saddles is joining us, and his buddy Anthony. I will let you guys introduce yourself here in a second, but we got to say, the Buzzard Roost, just throwing this out there, hands down the best saddle I've owned. This year it's, shoot, I don't know how many deer it's helped me with. I know for sure, I think three of my five were killed out of it. And of course the two that weren't killed were my bucks.
Yeah.
All the other three were killed with it, but yeah, it is the most comfortable saddle, and we'll dive into it a little more for those that didn't hear the first episode, which was probably what, a year ago, maybe. So
yeah,
guys, why don't you, introduce yourselves.
So my name's Benny Gregoire. I'm from South Louisiana. Born in Florida, but raised here in South Louisiana around my dad's family and all. Grew up hunting, young age, 2 years old. My dad was taking me in the woods and packing a sleeping bag, putting it at the bottom of the tree, and I would just sleep down there while he would climb up in his climber and hunt. But
that's epic.
Yeah, at least that's the way he tells a story. So but Anthony and I met it was quite a few years ago. We were neighbors and just instant friends. Anthony's way more important than he believes in the Buzzard Roost. But, Anthony, I'll go ahead and let you introduce yourself, where you're from and all that.
Yeah. Before you do, For those who are listening and aren't seeing the video of this, Anthony is sitting outside. I almost said December. It is January 1st. And for pretty much everyone else in the country, everyone's like bundled up. I had to go put on pants because I was cold inside.
And this I took dude mine
is
off.
Chilling. This dude is chilling outside, just like recording a podcast on January 1st. So, Anthony, welcome to the show. I'm pretty impressed with you sitting outside, even though it's whatever it is there, 60.
Yeah, the weather fluctuates here. It's cold one day and hot the next. You just never know. But my name's Anthony Regallo. I was born and raised in California. I joined the military back in right after high school. Moved to New Orleans, or I was moved to New Orleans in 2008, and then I became Benny's neighbor in a little after 2008, 2009, and we've just been friends since. And that's actually when I really started. Like, I've done a little bit of hunting, but when Benny and I met is when he kind of took the lead on that, and he's like, "Hey, man, I'll show you how it's done." And then after that, I just got hooked. When Benny started making the saddles, at first it wasn't my thing. And then he came up with this two panel system, and I was like, man, I can do that. So yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
And Anthony is the luckiest unlucky sucker you'll ever meet.
Yep. That's true. That's true.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. In 2014, I was in a really bad accident. I worked for a Caterpillar here in Louisiana, and the piece of equipment I was working on actually fell on top of me like a mousetrap thing. It pinned me from my waist back, and I was med flighted to Our Lady of the Lake in Baton Rouge, and it was one of those things. It was like they didn't know what was the outcome of the surgery, whether I was going to live or not. And then once I lived, they didn't know if I was going to walk or not. And then you know, just one of those things, you just got to prove the doctor's wrong. And here I am today, and I'm out hunting. And I think walking and hunting is the best therapy, has been the best therapy for me. Really has.
Yeah. And I'm not lying to you when I say I watched him go from being depressed to hunting, and his mood just went straight up. The year after he started walking, he ended up limiting out on deer, and I've never limited out in a single year.
Dang.
I used to mess with him. I'd say, man, I could hang my stand in a Walmart parking lot and shoot deer.
Yeah, that ain't no lie.
Buzzard Roost Saddles, made right here in the great state of Louisiana.
should be on every Louisiana bow hunter's list as a must-have in their hunting arsenal. Buzzard Roost Saddles achieves comfort through adjustability for those long day sets during the rut and also provides the maneuverability to get up and move when you see the need. Buzzard Roost Saddles was created with the need to lighten the piro as well as the backpack to go deeper than everyone else. Louisiana bow hunters are a mixed bag, and Buzzard Roost Saddles is the tool to fit any job. Whether it's public land, private land, hardwoods, pines, or even the bottomless swamps, Buzzard Roost Saddles has what you need to stay mobile.
So, thank you for your service. We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
And we appreciate you. And so, when you got started hunting, tell us a little bit about that.
I didn't really even own a bow at the time. It was all I hunted with before was like a rifle, and even then it wasn't really like it wasn't really hunting until I moved to Louisiana, and I don't know if you all ever hunted the South, but it's a different type of hunting out here. I promise you. Hunting the swamps, when Benny first took me to the swamps, I was like, man, that was a trip, and ever since I've just been hooked. I love it.
I have a new respect for you guys down there hunting swamps, because back in August, I went down to Alabama and was hog hunting just right off a swamp. And that was the strangest hunt I'd ever been on. And there was a ton of deer sign, but you could tell just from being down there in August how hard it is to kill deer in a swamp. Like it was a completely different type of hunting than I'm typically used to. So how would, or Anthony or Benny, whichever one, how does the saddle help in a environment like that?
For me, it was, man, you can literally go out there and pick a tree. It didn't matter what type of tree it was. if I could put sticks up to it, I was able to get in it.
For me, like, all the trees in the swamp are pretty much climber trees. You can put a climber in any of them. They're straight, tall cypress and tupelo trees. And they're easy to run a climber, but it's the walking in that. 100 yards feel like a mile sometimes, depending on what's underneath your feet. And sometimes there's not even a bottom under your feet. You're just walking on floating grass that's matted up. And sometimes you fall through and things like that. I fell through one time with a stand on my back, and it just kind of – it was an old man climber, and it kind of forced my face down, soaking wet, freezing cold. Oof. But it wasn't long after that I started saddle hunting. I just said, I got to find a different way of doing this. But, yeah, the saddles really help lighten you up. So the deer can walk across that stuff easy because they're – quadrupeds, you know, and we put all our weight down on 2 feet. So if you can reduce some of the weight, it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before we get too far into this, I don't want to take for granted that some of our listeners may have missed the first episode in the last year. So could you guys describe Buzzard Roost a little bit, what you guys do, what you guys have out there for as far as saddles go?
Yeah. So Buzzard Roost Saddles, I just randomly one night, it's not like something I set out to do, but I was making my own saddle. I had just been divorced, so money was tight. Saddle hunting wasn't a big thing, but I made my own saddle just to save a little bit of money, and I ended up falling in love with the concept of saddle hunting. My first saddle sucked. It was terrible for comfort. But it accomplished what I wanted to, and that lightened my load. But, man, one night I worked shift work, and one night before I went on my night shift, I tried to stay up. So I just went to the sewing machine, and I was on my mom's sewing machine that I borrowed from her, and I built a saddle, and it just kind of came to me, try this. And when I tried it, it just ended up being super comfortable. And that was just the bottom panel. And then I had to figure out the top panel. And so that's why we say we have a true two-panel saddle, because our panels, our bottom panel and our top panel, can completely separate. You can hold one in each hand and spread your wingspan as far as you can, and they'll separate. But that's also how we achieve our comfort. Our bottom panel is independent of the top, so you can twist and turn your angles to make your bottom panel comfortable, and then your top panel can either be a backrest, or its main purpose is to hold you in the saddle. But we were able to, just by dumb luck, make a really, really comfortable saddle, and it's catching on right now really, really well.
So you guys,
I wouldn't say dumb luck. I would think you did the research, you put your time in, and you figured out what people wanted and didn't want, and you created a really good saddle.
Yeah, so were you just stitching things and using hot glue when you first started, or I guess what was your sort of process? Because, you know, in my mind, I'm sure there's a lot of testing that has to go into it just to make sure your product's safe. But when you were first starting out, it was kind of just you. And so did you have any sort of, you know, worries getting up into it and putting your weight into it, feeling like, all right, I could just slip out of this? What was that like?
Well, the first time I climbed 20 foot, yes, but the saddle itself was sketched bad. I used paracord and rivets, and I used my mom's sewing machine and split a sit drag down the middle lengthwise, and I ended up folding it back over and sewing it down and popping rivets in it, and I just fed paracord through it and made a netting. And that was a single panel saddle, much like some of them you see right now. But I didn't find it was very comfortable at all. But I've killed quite a few deer out of it, and I still have it hanging in the shop now.
That's awesome.
I wouldn't suggest anybody hunting out of it. But yeah, we do have testing and all.
I've hunted out of a single panel, and it's nice, but it's not as comfortable. Like when I made the switch over to the Buzzard Roost, it was night and day difference. It was like, how did I ever hunt out of that in the first place? So a little kind of changing the angle a little bit. You guys just came out with some one sticks. Is that right? Could you share a little bit about those?
Yeah, so they're meant to stack with, say, if you run three sticks on square tubing, they're made to stack on there, and the platform sits on the top. And you can take a third stick out or something and just attach aiders to it. Or we pre-drilled them to do the one-stick thing. You can put a Harkin cam cleat on it and do the one-stick deal. So we kind of give you that option. And I've always been a big proponent of guys that are just getting into it. I really think they need to keep things simple. Don't go straight out the gate to the one stick. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's just there's a lot to figure out about saddle hunting in order to keep yourself safe. And I think some guys are trying to run before they walk. And that does scare me. So big proponent of using three sticks at first and just kind of graduating into your final climbing method.
Mm-hmm. What's your guys' final climbing method?
I have multiple for different situations.
I do it as well. I use the wild
different situations or how much work you want to do?
I guess it's, everything's a balancing act in saddle hunting. Are you walking 3 miles a day? Then I pack the lightest I can. If I'm hunting 100 yards from the truck, I'm going to do the simplest, easiest, quickest way up, which is a set of sticks. Or I love wild edge steps. I love them. If you told me there's only one way to climb a tree, that's all I get for the rest of my life, I'm going wild edge steps. And that's even over my own sticks. Sticks are great. I just love the wild edge steps.
What makes them special?
Versatile. They're super versatile because you can take them. And my first step when I use a wild edge step is like 7 foot. And then I just hook the Nader Swader to my legs and climb up like that. And then once you get to the top, you can run a ring of steps off of them. And that's your platform too. So you don't have extra stuff hanging around off your backpack and all.
Interesting.
What about you, Anthony?
Yep, mine's the same. I like the wild edge steps, and I like that you can put one on each side of the tree and kind of hook your heels in, and that's your platform. Because I lean. I'm more of a leaner than I do sit.
Yep.
I use sticks as well. Like Ben said, it just depends if I'm walking 3 or 4 miles and I'm packing them a little bit lighter. If I'm not walking that much, then I'm going to bring my sticks.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do the one stick most times, but it can be a hassle at times. It's like, man, do I really want to go up in that tree and put in all the work or not?
Yeah. Sometimes I got to bring myself back to the mindset. Benny, you was lugging a 30-pound climber just a couple years ago. You're overcomplicating things. Just put your set of sticks in a tree and climb them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we have a couple places where we just have sticks hanging in the tree already, and it's like,
yep.
If we need them, we can walk out there with our saddle and our platform and climb up to the top, hook up our platform, and be ready to hunt in 5 minutes.
That's right.
Yeah, and kind of to your point, it is definitely a balancing act. I remember when I first started climbing, I felt like there was a lot of pressure to get high up in a tree, and there's definitely a place for that. But we've done a lot of hunting on the ground, and even if you get 12 feet up in a tree, that can be plenty, at least where we're hunting, to at least get some of your scent off the ground. They don't see you nearly as easy, especially if there are leaves on the tree. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the real difficult things I felt when I got into one staking, was just the need, the feeling to get really high in the tree. And it was a ton more work getting to 12 feet is way down here. It's pretty easy. And then there's a huge jump getting up to that 20 feet range, because you got to pull the stick and got to go up two more times or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how many step eighter do you use on your one stick?
Mine is I think it's a 5-step.
Wow.
This is 5, but it's pretty narrow.
They're narrow. It's one I got on Amazon. And I had built a makeshift stick that I used for a while. And now I have, I don't even know what brand I have, but I just hooked that on. And what I like to do is put my platform up at like 6, not quite, maybe 4 or 5 feet, and then reach up with my stick and aider and put that as high as I can.
Yeah.
And most times I can get up high enough just by doing that, where I don't even really need to grab my stick and move it up. There are some times I have to, but most times I can get up to roughly 15 feet if I do it right. So that's kind of how I run it.
You run a stick and a separate platform.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we both do.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't upgraded to kind of the stick and platform or anything, and the platform I have is the first one I had, and I just haven't upgraded.
He needs to upgrade though.
I had a had a bow explode on me last year, which ended some of my goals of updating some of my equipment. The bow jumped to the top of the list real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Benny, did you go elk hunting this year?
I did not. I had some family stuff going on that kind of prevented me from being able to go. It's number one on my list this year.
Gotcha. I went for the first time this year, and I brought the saddle along, but I was like, everywhere you walk out there are just trees on the ground. And I was just looking like, yeah, I don't know if I want to get in these trees.
Yeah. Yeah, and it just, man, it's, I find it unnecessary, but That's kind of why you're elk hunting, because you want to shoot one from the ground, bugling in your face. You don't really want to be up. Yeah. And that's the thrill of the hunt for me, is calling them in like a turkey instead of – and there's nothing wrong with killing one over a water hole or something where you're sitting in a tree stand, but that's not why I go.
Yeah, I was kind of – since it was my first time, I was just kind of like, I want to kill one, so I'm going to do whatever I can. And I went out there going – I'll just find, you know, where they are, and I'll throw up, you know, my saddle, or I'll throw up the sticks, and I'll just climb up there and I'll wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got humbled real fast out there. we spent probably the first, we were out there 5 days before season and did not see an elk. We saw, we saw everything else. We even saw moose. Like, we saw everything else. And then, we talked to a local, and he was like, check this area. So opening day, we're just like, well, we're going to go this way instead of the other way we've been going. And within the first hour, we had a bull on the ground.
Nice.
Like, sweet. But yeah, didn't end up sitting in my saddle like I thought I would.
Yeah, but you had it if you needed it.
I did, which was nice. What made it nice is I had the saddle, and then I had the stick and the platform, and all that fits in to a small area. So it's like, I could have left it, but it was also just that peace of mind of knowing if I need it, I have it. And it's also not the one stick. Like you were saying, if you're going 3 miles back, it was like, if I go 5 miles back, it's going to kind of suck to carry that far, but it's not going to be like I'm lugging a tree stand or a climber back 5 miles deep to hunt. Right. So, but yeah,
exactly.
Ended up using it a lot here though.
Sweet. Yeah, one thing that I got recently that I didn't realize was so helpful with, saddle hunting was a good backpack for, carrying your stick and platform. I'd been sort of like using bungee cords and like, just jimmy rigging a backpack, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's fine. I'd shove my stick in and then sort of like strap the platform to the back of it and made it work. But the past week, having an actual like backpack where my stick and platform can attach to it and hang has been super, super helpful.
Yep. A system is the most important thing you can develop. That system is going to make you more efficient than anything. Doesn't really matter what gear you're packing out there, but if you have a set system of how you put it up from the time you walk up to the tree till you're done and in the tree, man, it makes a world of a difference.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys are you guys just buddies? You guys are partners, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So I kind of want to hear about your guys' roles within Buzzard Roost. What do you guys do that's the same? What do you guys do that's different? And how is it, you know, managed day to day?
So we both still have day jobs. We still go work to provide for our families and all. And my wife works at the shop, so I kind of manage through her, and she'll relay to me. It's not the most efficient thing in the world, but that's how we have to do it. And then I'll go in the evenings and tune things up, or I'll do some maintenance work on machines and all, and keep all that running. And then Anthony lives about 45 minutes away, so he doesn't come in but like once a week. And I let him tell you what all he does once he's there.
I basically just cut the material. I want to make sure that all the material's cut for pouches, saddles. That's the bottoms, at least, for the saddles. And then I've started taking over the sales part as far as stores go. so that's basically all I do. And then I help with the communication side. We got that. What's that conversation app? It goes through all your phones. And then it's just keeping up with text messages and phone calls. It's a lot for one person. And Benny's been doing a majority of it for sure. But I try and help out with that as when I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, the communication part is definitely a full-time job, and I'm thankful Austin here helps and does almost all of that, because it really is a full-time job. I'll get on there and just see the messages and the conversations he's had through the day, and I'm like, I could not keep up with all of this. So, yeah, that's awesome. Have you guys, you kind of mentioned sales with shops. Are you guys selling in any shops yet? Is it mainly online?
No, we've got shops. We've actually got three or four here in Louisiana that, or there's more than that now, Benny, isn't it?
I think we've got six or seven.
Yeah, that's just in Louisiana, I think.
And then we have like two or three in Florida.
Yeah.
And then Dano, I want to say he's in Michigan, carries our stuff. And then we have a few others.
Man, that's awesome. It's cool, like, because from the last time we talked, you guys were still pretty small, you know. I don't even think you had, like, shops that you were selling in. You may have had a couple. And just seeing that growth over the past year, that's awesome. It's cool that people are catching on and realizing how much better Buzzard Roof saddles are than all the others. And I'm looking at the rest of the guys that are part of Just One. Because we all run saddles, but we all run different saddles, it seems like. And it's just like, you guys need to get on the Buzzard Roof train.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with my head down a little bit. I'm just thinking about my hunt this morning and how uncomfortable my saddle was. And the two-panel one would have made a big difference. My saddle was given to me by a buddy, and it's been the last piece of my equipment that I haven't bought for myself, basically. Like, when I first started, people were loaning me a stick and a platform and a saddle. And so this year I've upgraded my stick, my platform. I've got all my setup. Next year, though, is going to be when I upgrade to the Buzzard Roost. And I know I'm going to, for sure, because Austin's in my ear every time we go hunting, it seems like, talking about how great his saddle is. But I've got a nicer platform than him. So
that's true. But here's how good it is. So I'm not one that loves heights. Like, you can ask Cam.
Yeah.
It takes me a while to get into a tree at times, just because I'm like, I don't like how high I am. I don't feel secure, and just mild fear of heights. I have taken so many naps this year dangling from my saddle. Like, just drop down, sit down, and just nap. And it is that comfortable that I, who have we'll just say I have a fear of heights.
He does.
Yeah.
Can fall asleep in the saddle attached by a rope to the tree. That's how comfortable it is. So
try the turn your hat backwards and stick your thumb in the carabiner and just place your head right there. It creates a circle and your head just stays there. It doesn't wobble.
Oh, that's a game changer. Cause I kind of just will like do this whole, like that whole thing. And it's just, it's not as like put my arms on either the rope or the tether or whatever, and then just kind of lay my hat on top of it. I don't know why I didn't think to turn around my hat. It's like, gosh, my hat's in the way. Easy solution.
Or take it off if you got a big hoodie that you're putting over it. Just take it off and put it in your bag, or clip it in your carabiner. That way it's there whenever you're ready to put it back on.
I also have a gear hanger that I use. That it has way too many hooks on it, because I only use like two of the hooks, so I could hook it up there too.
Yeah. But, so have y'all found that now that you saddle hunt, you bring too much junk?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, part of it is we try to record videos for YouTube. So half the stuff I have in my bag is camera gear. So that takes up a ton of my pack. And then I find random stuff that I'm like, why did I even bring that? What, like, I know I had a logical reason at home where I was like, yeah, I should throw these in my pack for tomorrow. And then I get to the tree, I'm like, I don't know why I brought these.
Yeah. Yep. It's just not the right time, but I got two grunt tubes and a rattling set of horns. I don't know why I brought it. Yes, I needed it.
I think there was one time where, so if I'm going up in a tree, I have a mount for the camera that will hook to the tree. And then if I'm hunting on the ground, I have a tripod. And are those gunshots that I keep hearing?
No, it's fireworks.
Oh, I was like, this just gets better and better, sitting outside with gunshots in the background.
Not even flinching. Used to it. We're used to that.
But so if I'm on the ground, I have a tripod. I'm pretty sure one of the mornings I brought the tripod and got up in the tree and was like, why do I have this with me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm bad about it where the one thing I really need to bring, which is food, I don't bring. And so I get up there and have all this extra junk and my stomach starts rumbling about 8 o'clock. And I'm like, how do I keep forgetting to throw some crackers or something in here?
Natural grunt call right there.
Yeah.
Didn't even need to bring the grunt tube.
Yeah.
We've all heard the saying, a picture tells 1,000 words. And the same can be said for deer mounts. A skull on the wall represents so much more than just a successful hunt. It represents the culmination of lots of work, some luck, and rich memories with friends and family. At Just One, we like to hang our skulls with skull hangers from Kibosh Outdoors. The hangers are secure, super easy to set up, and made in the U.S. They even have hangers for as little as $9 to get your skull sitting proudly at the perfect angle. Go check them out at KiboshOutdoors.com or follow the link in our bios and use code JUSTONE at checkout to save 10% on your order.
So we actually took a camping trip this year. It was kind of our first hunting camping trip type thing with a couple of the guys, which it was a lot of fun. But it was funny. We were kind of talking about taking Austin's Jeep. And as we started packing stuff, my truck was completely full, like bed, backseat, everything. And there's no way we were getting all that crap in your truck.
We were gone Jeep. 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
It's like packed so full you can't even see out the back window. That's how it was for elk. Like, that truck was loaded down. I'm surprised it didn't, like, get stuck in some places just because it was so heavy.
But yeah. I find that the more ill-prepared you are, the more success you have in the woods.
Oh, really?
Like, I would say that's true.
And I don't know why it is. It's probably just something silly that I think. But like, I went turkey hunting and got a campsite in somebody's backyard. There's a cool app. It's called Hip Camp. And you can find people to let you stay in their backyard for like – real cheap, and you just throw a tent back there and camp. But I didn't bring – I killed a turkey, and I love fresh turkey, because it's one of the things that I can eat. But so I ended up going to the dollar store and getting a pot, and I fried the turkey over the fire.
That's awesome.
And I didn't have what I needed, so – it worked out.
That seems to be how it goes, because like this year, the buck right above my head, I mean, even when you're hunting and you're just not prepared, I had rode off this hunt. I'm sitting in an elevated box blind, opening day a rifle, feet up on the wall. And I'm just like, this hunt's over. Like it was like 9:30 at the time. And I had seen, I think, 2 does. And I'm just like, this hunt's over. And in between my feet, I see antlers. And I'm just like, oh, shoot. And I, like, sit up real quick, grab my gun. My scope is, like, I had my elk scope on my rifle. And it was zoomed in to, like, 20 magnification for a 100-yard shot. And I'm, like, trying to find this deer. And I'm like, the deer was big enough to find. Why can't I find it? And ended up shooting him, obviously. But, yeah, that ill-prepared... I think that's the key to success.
Yeah.
I think we just discovered the key to success when it comes to hunting.
Yeah, I'm leaving my knives at home from now on.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Yes.
And you have to use a rock.
Yeah, I have a rule. I do not bring ice chests. I don't bring them. Because every time I do, I am going to get skunked. And every time I got to go buy an ice chest, I'll kill 3 or 4. I don't know. So I don't bring them.
Golly.
Hey, I want to go back to this hunt, this camping app. Who's letting you camp in their backyard for how much is it?
Well, it's roughly like $20 a night.
Yeah, who's letting you do that?
That's a lot crazy. Of people.
Are there a lot of people?
You just, oh yeah, you just type in the city you want to go to, and they're there. It's called Hip Camp, HIPCAMP.
Huh. And, that's pretty neat.
I went where I went turkey hunting. It was nice, the rolling hills and pasture land, and I was just way back off to the side. I mean, it's somebody's backyard, but sometimes you can get really close to where you're hunting if the public land doesn't allow you to camp on it. That's the first thing I look at. Can I camp on the public land? And if not, then I go to the hip camp, or I'll check it out even so, because if they so happen to have showers, then that's even better. I'll spend the money to get a shower.
A shower makes a huge difference. We saved all our water at our elk camp for like the last night to take a shower. And I could have went 10 more days after that shower. I was like, oh, that felt great. I was ready to go. And
Did y'all dive into the YouTube DIY showers and all that, hot water heaters? And
no, we didn't. So get this. My buddy, who one of them who came with me, invited his dad to come out. And maybe a month before, he calls me. It's like, hey, so my dad bought a camper. And I'm like, for what? And he's like, he was driving home and saw it on the side of the road and said, you know what? I don't want to sleep on the ground, and bought a camper to take out to Colorado. So we had a camper. Yeah. We had, you know, the bathroom, shower, all that. And it was a game changer out there. Like, it's not something I keep hearing those. And like, that sounded like gunshots. No, it's like, it's something you don't need, but it's definitely something that it's nice. It's really nice.
Yeah. And it boosts the morale on a hunt like that.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
One of those where you're getting your butt kicked. We need to do that turkey hunting because we're not very good turkey hunters.
No, we suck. But we've got all day now here in Missouri. They opened up. So before, I don't know how it is for you guys. We might have talked about it at one point. But the turkey hunt ended at 1 p.m. and Missouri opened it up. So it's all day now. So I mean, we can go in the morning, go grab some lunch, and then go back out and try and double our chances, because we need double chances. So
here's my question for you, Cam. Are you going to do some all-day sits in the saddle for turkey?
No.
No.
Nope. I don't. Nope. Man, turkey hunting has been brutal to me, and I know that's my own fault, but they're fun to chase, but they've just kicked our butt so far. One thing we haven't tried much, really, if any, is going to public land and just trying to walk around and trying to find some more birds that way. Like, we've done a lot of private, and our private has kind of been, if there are birds here, there are birds here, and if there's not, there's not. And I think we miss out on one of the best parts of turkey hunting, which is just going and exploring and trying to find the birds.
Yeah. So go to public land, be willing to screw up a lot. Just go. And I can't kill them if I can't hear them. So if you go in and you yelp at them and they don't gobble back, leave. Go somewhere else. And they might have 20 birds there. But if I can't hear them, I can't learn, and I can't kill them. Mm-hmm. But learning is the key. And you only learn by knowing that they're there and that they're reacting to you.
Yeah.
That's my method. Run and gun hardcore. If they not gobbling, I'm gone.
Keeps it fun running and gunning. I tried to do that for deer tonight.
Oh, you tired after, though.
Yeah, you are.
So, and I kind of like the Missouri season closing at noon, because that helped me. I would just go to sleep, get home, go to sleep early.
Yeah.
It's all day here in Louisiana, but the northern states, they do the half day, and I kind of like it. It just kind of, you can do the, if it's all day, I'm in it. I'm focused. I'm hunting all day, but I need somebody to tell me to chill out.
The Missouri just changed it, so on private land you can now hunt all day.
Yeah.
But on public land you can only hunt till 1 o'clock still.
Yeah, which is it's a little interesting. Perfect. I'm not sure what their idea is behind that. Maybe they just don't. Yeah. I don't know.
You coming up here to chase some birds this spring? Oh yeah?
Definitely. Definitely.
Let's go chase some birds on some public land when you're up here.
Okay. Where y'all close to?
We're Southwest Missouri, so we're Springfield, Missouri area.
Okay. How far y'all want to drive?
Depends on if we're camping or not, I guess.
I'm fine for a trip.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'll probably be up there for minimum a week.
Okay.
I'll either go there or go to my honey hole, and we'll talk about that later.
Fair enough. When Anthony's not here.
Right.
You ain't got to worry about me. I don't think I've killed a turkey yet.
No.
Oh, you have to.
He went. Right after his accident, he went with us a lot. It just
never hooked up. Man.
Yeah. Turkey hunting here is hard. I would say never come to Louisiana and turkey hunt. Never come here and hunt. It is tough. And that's not just me trying to keep you off. That's just tough.
I could imagine it being pretty tough there.
Yeah, that's why I take a week and go somewhere else, because my efforts are way more rewarding going somewhere else. Even Mississippi is tough, and it's real close. It's about an hour and a half drive for me. But I would still rather drive 9-10 hours or even 17 hours to go kill turkeys.
I think that's crazy because, like, here being in Missouri, that it's – and not just us, but, like, Missourians complain about how few turkey we have.
And really?
It's like, oh, yeah. Like, one of the biggest topics we talk about on our podcast as turkey season comes is, you know, what do you think of turkey numbers? And guys like you travel here just because you're like, yeah, I can kill a turkey there. It's crazy. So we're getting a little long on time. I wanted to ask, usually we do a segment called Around Our Campfire.
Okay.
Tonight I want to do it a little different, and I want to ask you guys, what is the – I have to make sure I phrase this right because I don't know what kind of answer I'll get. So what is the strangest thing you have chased from the saddle? Like, what kind of game?
Just deer is all I've ever gone after. Now, I want to go up to Maryland and chase the Sika.
Okay.
We have a guy on our field staff from down here in Lake Charles, Louisiana, is where he's from. But he lives up in Maryland, and I think I'm going to hook up with him this year and go chase those Sika.
Heck yeah.
Sweet.
That'll be awesome. I really expected you to say, like, you chase squirrel or something, honest. And I didn't want to say what's the strangest thing you've done in a saddle, because I don't know what I would hear from you.
That might have been a better question.
About what you can do on a saddle.
Yeah,
Anthony, how about you?
No, I've only hunted deer. That's all.
All right, we're going to have to change the question. What's the strangest thing you've done in a saddle? Let's keep it PG rated.
I think I've trimmed some limbs around the house and all. Just climbed up and use it to trim limbs. I got a buddy that wants me to take it. He lost his kid's drone in the tree. So I'm when he locates it, I loaned him my binoculars, and when he locates it, I'm going to go get it.
There you go.
That's pretty awesome.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Right.
I don't know that I've done anything super weird in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little, like, going to the bathroom in it. I mean, it's a little weird, like, at least for me, I kind of got unstrapped and turned around. And so that was a little weird, just standing on the platform, not being hooked in. I wouldn't necessarily recommend that, but that's probably the weirdest thing that I've done from it.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to do the, you got to stick that one leg way out. And
are you going to put a flap on the back so that way you can just take a number two from it?
Oh, well, that's called the slip and dip. You just unbuckle those clips in the back and you slip it down below your knees. Slip and dip. And then you let out on your tether so that you get proper form.
You sound pretty experienced in that.
Oh, yeah. And ladies, there you go.
Oh, my gosh. There's the response, yeah. I was hoping for right there with go. That question. Man, it's been great getting to know the gunshots again. What is it with this guy? Just going to keep bringing it up every time to make it a little bit awkward now. Anyways, it's been great getting to reconnect with you guys and look forward to hunting with you guys. Maybe both of you can come up and turkey hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I'll definitely do that.
I will say, Anthony, we're terrible turkey hunters. Between the two of us, we've killed
one spring bird.
We've killed, I think, four birds.
Yeah.
Four or five. But yeah, that one you can barely see right there, that's the only one we've killed. So,
well, that's one more than me, so you're good.
Right.
My honey hole, I saw 25 jakes in one group this year. Wow. So I'm looking forward to going back and chasing 2-year-olds. Yeah. I don't care what they say. I want 2-year-olds. They're stupid. And they make things exciting.
Right.
That's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to get those coordinates later tonight.
Oh yeah.
Well, guys, thank you for your time. Like Austin said, it's great getting to connect with you guys. We obviously really support you guys, love your product. I'm excited to switch over, ready to get Austin out of my ear. But we climb a lot of the same trees, and I can see how comfortable he is, and I'm over here adjusting mine. So, again, we love what you guys are doing and excited to support you guys. And, again, just thank you guys for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it.
Sweet. Well, with that, we will wrap it up. Guys, thank you guys for listening. Go check out Buzzard Roost Saddles. We'll really appreciate it. They'll appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening. And with that, we will catch you on the next one. Don't forget, all it takes is just one.